Hi, everyone, and,
you slapped your leg again.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I did. I started with my usual, beginning to our fun and always entertaining podcast. Well, at least we hope you guys do. And, this is Sean.
And Justin.
And, Justin's gonna stay with me here for the next half hour.
You should actually mention the name of the podcast, just for
okay.
The record.
For the record, those of you out there who haven't heard us before, this is thedotmatrix.com.
Episode 13.
Episode 13, which you remarked was a lucky number.
Yeah, of course. 13's always lucky, isn't it?
Maybe we should have done 13 on Friday the 13th, but that wouldn't
have
worked.
I was in Ottawa having an interesting time salsa dancing.
Right on,
but we won't
yes.
get into that. Anyways, yes, it's officially summer. And it's been a while since our last podcast. It feels that way, at least.
You know what? It was 4 days short of a month ago.
Serious?
I checked out the date on our episode 12, and I could have swore I saw May 28th. So, yeah.
So much has happened. Your birthday and
yep.
beach party, so to
yep.
speak. I was away for a week. We had a bunch of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, well, I think we each did things in our absence in different cities, and I think one of the main topics we're going to talk about today was the all-important Vision Vancouver candidacy vote for the mayor of Vancouver.
Yes, that's right. And because I'm so exhausted, I'm going to let you just get into it.
Shall I just
yes.
pull the reins on this
Please
story?
Do, because... as we discussed in a previous podcast, I'll set the context and then I'll let you tell the story.
Okay. Sure.
As people who listen to our podcast, we were at a garden party
yes.
to meet and greet Gregor Robertson from Vision Vancouver, and we both went and had a gay old time, enjoyed
sure
ourselves. Sean was a brown noser and brought cookies. We both signed up, and we were
yeah.
impressed by the guy and what he was saying, what he stood for, and what he as a candidate stands for in terms of politics and
yeah.
being...
Policy and...
Yeah, and... but I didn't have the heart to tell people that I wasn't going to be in town for the vote. And there you were, also potentially not going to be in town, but you ended up being in town. And
I did, yeah.
Hence the story. And there's also this petition that I see dangling over your speaker around
Living
yeah. Baby, so...
We can talk about that later.
Yeah, I want to point that out just because I thought it was interesting because it's just lying there. But anyways,
yes.
I digress, and we go back to voting day on June 15th, wasn't it?
June 15th, Father's Day, car-free day on Commercial Drive in Vancouver, which is my neighborhood, and very
and a few
hot
other,
day.
A few other neighborhoods too had it too, didn't they?
Main Street. Was there any near your area? I thought there was a kids one.
I think there was, well, just when I was walking over here with my friend, she said it. She had mentioned the different car-free days, and I think she mentioned kids. And
yeah.
Den, West End, too. Den.
West, oh, of course. That would make sense. I think it was a really cool thing. I think people really like the one on a commercial because there's a lot of people and a lot of dogs, and, you know, it's a real community kind of feel as opposed to perhaps some of the other neighborhoods. I heard actually a little tidbit about Main Street one, because Commercial Drive had a bunch of food places, right, on the drive, and they came out and set up tables.
Right.
So they were always getting their food out there, and people were really digging it. And, you know, they have specials and stuff. But I heard Main Street, I read in the paper, that they didn't have any food vendors whatsoever. So a guy remarked, "I'm glad there was a 7-Eleven down the street." Nothing like 7-Eleven cheeseburgers. Anyway, back to the story. Yeah, it was a great morning. It opened at 8, and we went around 9:30, and I thought, oh, it's still morning. It won't be a problem, you know, just whip in there and vote. But no, there was many hundreds of people there already lined up.
And that's, I mean, from my understanding from the press that I read, is, I mean, it was an impressive show of civic engagement. I mean,
yes.
This is not even running. You're not voting for mayor of Vancouver. You're
right.
voting... in a civic party to determine who in that party would run for mayor. Like, it's that one step removed in which rarely gets that many votes. And if you think about the Nonpartisan Association, which I'm morally opposed to the name, who is the, you know, the current mayor is from that party. He actually had he had someone challenge him, and usually the incumbent mayor never has a challenger for the party's nomination, but he did, and he lost, which was a big surprise.
Yeah, huge shocker.
But he only it was only 300
votes.
Yeah, or whatever the vote count, but it was only in the hundreds in terms of the number of people who voted for Sam Sullivan or Peter Ladner.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't four digits; it was three digits. And then the tally for what I saw in the results.
I thought that Ladner cracked 1,000.
Oh, okay.
And
so,
I think Sam was like 900 something.
Right, and so
which is
and this
small.
Is the ruling party.
Ruling party of Vancouver.
And so another party, and in, I mean, I don't want to jump the end of your story, but like it was a solid four digits. And I mean, it was probably three or four times people.
Definitely.
Actually voting in total, if not five times.
I would say,
you know?
400-500%.
Yeah.
The people came out to vote for Vision compared to the NPA, which is a very partisan association, I must say. We went, and it was a great day. Elaine and Dex walked me over there, and then they went to Trout Lake, so I was all by my lonesome there. And the great thing, because I was a Gregor fan.
Yeah.
I like Louis. Aldi Genova, I thought he's a good guy, but I thought there was less but what he was saying that I was into. So I was mainly into Gregor and Raymond, and Gregor especially. And it was interesting because we could have the option of our first pick and our second pick.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Typically don't do that.
And
I
it's a one
it.
Or a two you put. There's no X's. There's one or two. Otherwise, it's spoiled. So I was like, well, I'm glad we have intelligent voters in this city compared to others, because that probably wouldn't have worked in many other places. But so the great thing was at the end of this long, long lineup that circled the parking lot was Gregor Robertson himself, who was standing at the end of the line meeting everyone that came into the line, which I thought, hey, that's really cool, you know? And I said, hey, I met you at the garden party. He's like, oh, yes. And it looked like maybe he might have remembered me, but I know he remembered the garden party. So
yes.
That was the important thing.
Yes.
And
you're
associated
with something he remembers.
Which is
there
awesome.
You go.
So I shook his hand. I said, I'm really excited. And he said, thanks for coming out. It's the important thing that you came. And I said, great. And we went in line. I got a sticker. And then I saw Raymond Louis at the front of the line shaking people's hands.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, what do I say? Because I got my sticker. I've got, you know... But he said, shook my hand, and he said, number two, huh? And I'm like, and I said, absolutely. And then I was like, and he goes, you know, thanks very much, thanks for voting. And I said to myself, well, that's funny, where's Al, you know? And sure enough, Al, front of the cameras with Larry Campbell, the previous mayor, and a supporter of his. And I thought, I never saw him meeting
people.
Like, being out there for the people, like Raymond and Gregor were. And I thought, okay, there's a definite difference there. Because, of course, yeah, he's getting all the cameras, he's getting all the microphones. But at the end of the day, people want to feel that human touch, right?
Yes.
So, went in, voted, and that was it. And we heard later on that evening. And Gregor won it handily. Like,
yeah,
just,
wasn't it like 4,000-something votes? And Raymond Louis was 3,000-something, and I don't even know what Al did, you know.
Al only got about 900-something. That I remember. Which I was kind of surprised, because I know he's a lot of people who are fans of his, and he does great work on the Parks Board, but I like what he says about the parks, you know, but that's...
Yeah.
There's other things I didn't quite agree with him, but
right.
But it was a good day, and it's it's too bad that we couldn't do it together. But
I know.
But you know, you'll be out there for the main election in November.
Oh yes, yeah, so that booklet of 20 pages worth of candidates to sift through. It's a hard process to vote in the civic election in Vancouver, but what I love about your story, and this is the second time I'm hearing it, of course, since we shared the story on Saturday. We should talk about being at that art show.
Let's.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll bring it up after.
Anyways, and so I, what I love about your story is that point when you met with Raymond Louis, and like, just to be so like candid about, hey, okay, you're not gonna vote for me, but number two, I love that, and that's the best he could have done in that circumstance. I thought it was great.
Absolutely.
And I mean, if I was there, I was definitely gonna, I would have voted Gregor first. And of course, when I got all the election material to vote, I mean, I flipped through, and this is what I told you too on Saturday, so I'm repeating it for the podcast world.
Yes.
And, you know, and Gregor's flyer was about what he wanted to do for the city, had this four priorities. And Raymond Louis, I mean, pretty much had a similar set of,
yeah,
of priorities.
They were
close.
Together.
And even Al De Genova in some ways was, but I just, you know, I just found his pamphlet to be a little bit lackluster.
Yeah.
But Raymond Louis' brochure had a point where he talked about the whole, had a demographic list of this map of the Vancouver geography and all the different ridings and where he got which percentage of the vote, so where he could win, and it was supposed to prove the fact that he could win the general election. Like, he is the one who could win.
For the vision.
For vision.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, what set him number two, and a clear number two, although, you know, I mean, that's just old school politics. People just playing the old school politics. But what I love about Gregor is that, or what I appreciate about Gregor is that he did not mention that anywhere. It's not about winning. It's about, I have a clear vision. I want to take you there.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what makes you want to, that's what hopefully makes you win, because you have a clear vision and people want you to make good on that vision. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so just because you win 80% of the vote in one riding and 70% of the vote in another riding, and, you know, like...
It's very statistical.
Yeah, and I can't... And I really can't stand where your reason for running is because you think you can win. Like, that's not
and
the
then
point.
What?
Yeah.
It's like when they talk about Obama, and they... As much as, you know, we dig Obama, but they say, okay, well, you've outused the word change, you know? So
yeah.
Where exactly is the change, you know? I think it's going to come. Like, I think he's capable of it, rather.
Right.
But it's hard to be specific when you use a word like that.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of the word change myself. I think it's overused.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes change is just brought because change is change, you know? Like there's no
exactly.
reason for it sometimes.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
Anyways, that's just another point for another day.
But yeah, I think overall it was a good experience, and we'll be there at the polls. So for any Vancouverites out there who are listening, we can only urge that you, if you're old enough, to vote in the next civic election in November. Because it's going to be a big contest this time. And
yes.
One of the things that I'll just say this quickly, is that Vision are aware that it may be hard to actually beat the MPA, because they got out the guy that no one really liked.
Right.
I hate to be so matter-of-fact, but it's kind of apparent.
Yes.
And within his own party, even. So it's...
Yeah.
Or their party members. And when you bring a new guy, it's like, oh, well, let's find out with this guy. I mean, he's very environmental, like Gregor. He's very,
yeah,
you know... Yet, one of the things that Gregor pointed out in his speech, I don't know if you read this, but... He says, you know, check his voting record, like, and if I don't know how available that information is, but things he's voted on in the past in city council, Gregor claims that he's actually not really put his, you know, his vote where his mouth is in the past. So we'll see.
Right.
I think it will be kind of a municipal elections of all municipal elections.
Yeah, well, and there's lots at stake, because whoever becomes mayor is mayor during the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And, like, people want it.
Yeah.
Like, they want, I mean...
What kind of mayor do
we
want during the Olympics? I think it's a big question, too.
Yes.
So that was that, and, let's move on to what we did on Saturday. Do you want to start that one?
Sure, yeah. We spent some time at the Jazz Festival at the Gastown Free Stuff, and we hadn't been, like, I don't know if you've been in recent years, but I hadn't been in recent years.
No.
And it was fun. We walked around a bit, got to enjoy the atmosphere. I mean, it's, some ways the same old, but in some ways it's just kind of fun to get back out there, just to, you know, I mean...
It's about the music in the end.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
And then, but we were there specifically as well later on in the afternoon for something called the Cheaper Show, which this is the 8th annual Cheaper Show,
yeah,
and I'm sure it hasn't been in this location before, probably been in other places, probably.
I think so, yeah.
And they were at a building in Gastown that used to house... something called Storium, which was a big interactive museum about the history of British Columbia, Which, you know, I went there once with my dad, and about 5-6 years ago, it was okay.
That long ago, huh?
Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah,
it's been around a long time.
And it's a big space, and so now it sits empty, and I guess the organizers rented it out, and they said 150 artists and 300 pieces. I don't know if that's really what was there, because it didn't seem that many.
It didn't seem 300. I would say maybe 150.
Yeah, I thought it was 150 pieces and maybe 80 artists or something. But at least when I went back and looked at the website afterwards, they said 300 pieces or 150 artists. But anyways, and they said in the literature that it had doubled in size. So it was probably a much bigger event than it had been in any year in the past. And of course, you know, we were walking around Gastown, and we thought, you know, well, we'll go to this show. I only heard about it through Facebook, and you probably heard about it probably in other ways, but I never saw any ads for it.
No.
And I asked you if you wanted to go. I thought, mm-hmm. it'd be a fun thing to do, part of the Sean and Justin Gets Out on the Town, and see and be seen, and all this epiphanies around figuring out this relationship issue of mine, and stuff, and we all this rigmarole of what we've talked about in our podcast for a number of months now. So we thought it was great to go, and then Elaine joined us, and mm-hmm. then your guys, a friend, mutual friend as well from work, came, and as we got closer to the 7 o'clock start, wasn't it? Yeah, or
yeah.
At least it was supposed to open at 7.
Supposed to,
and you know, by 4 there's already a couple people waiting in line. We thought, this is weird. Then an hour later, like 30 people, and then half an hour after that, 60 people. Then it was a good 150 people before we even got in line at 6:30, right? At least that many people.
Right.
And I just didn't understand. But, I mean, the whole point of the cheaper art show is that it's that many pieces of art, all $200,
yeah.
which, you know, although $200 is still $200, but for art, it's pretty
cheap. It can
cheap.
Be a bargain.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a really good bargain.
Yeah.
And I just didn't think it was going to be this big, but the line snaked around almost, like, if it did snake around the block and down the alleyway, it probably would have gone the full length of Gastown, probably.
Oh,
just,
definitely. Oh, yes.
And we finally went in, and it was just just craziness.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of art there, and a lot of people were just buying like crazy, and one of the thousands of people that you met that you knew there, didn't she say she knew someone at the front, and she just gave that person $200 to just buy me something?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And I mean, that's the kind of mentality, and it was not the kind of mentality I thought was going to be there at all. I didn't think it was going to be such a retail experience, you know, or the
yes.
or the wedding dress sale, annual sale dress barn thing
that's
that
right.
you see on TV, right?
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea it was going to be that much, and it was
yeah.
quite the craziness. And in the end, I mean, we talked about what we thought of the impression of was the art, and it was kind of, I don't want to be disrespectful, because art is art, and everyone has
definitely
their own creative process,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't seem that much different from the Emily Carr School of Art when I went to that art sale, annual art
right.
sale, which is also very busy, and a lot of people flipping through stuff, and I thought it was positioned to be a different level than that, right? Like post-school kind of art, you know, like maybe these are all up-and-coming artists, and I think that's kind of the cool thing about it, right? You
mm-hmm.
want to support up-and-coming artists before they become, you know, highfalutin and snobby about their art.
Yeah.
So I was really excited about that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
I thought the caliber... See, no matter how you phrase it, it sounds awful, but I just didn't think the caliber was there. Like, you know, even for $200, like, I thought it was going to be people really kind of sort of on their way, and then, you know, they're going to probably try to put out some really good pieces, but it came across as a student, more student-based art sale where it was a couple pieces they had lying around that they thought, okay, we'll enter this, you know, and it... Honestly, like, even some of the photographs, I thought, wow, you know, it just didn't grab me, and a lot of it is what my taste is. Like, I think maybe I'm just old school, like, in taste, and I don't like a lot of modern, but a lot of it didn't even come across as modern, really.
Right.
Like, maybe of its time, but that doesn't mean essentially modern, you know, like, kind of pushing the boundaries or the envelope, So yeah, I came away kind of like, yeah, I was fully prepared to, you know, take out $200 of their two ATMs they had, because I had no idea it was cash only. I thought, if anything, credit card. But if we waited in line, I probably wouldn't have made our dinner reservations at Greedy Pig, which really rocked, by the way. Greedy Pig was awesome.
Well, the whole Saturday night, I felt really cool.
I know.
You know, I was
really did.
We were in this show. I mean, people would walk by in the line and ask, you know, what is this? What are you guys waiting in line for?
Yeah.
And, like, we were in the know. We were in the line because we knew why we were there,
right?
That's right. And I felt really hip. And, you know, I don't really feel hip all that often, so it's nice to get out there and go to the Greedy Pig afterwards, which is like a fun, cool place, and have an awesome meatloaf sandwich.
Yes.
You know, and it just felt really awesome. And then we ended up going to Deadman
Marble Slab.
And we walked all the way, like, along English Bay to Second Beach and Stanley Park. Like, it was a nice evening.
It was my kind of evening, maybe short of dancing, I guess. But I love going down to the beach at night, and as the sun's going down, like, I think it's one of the best things you do, especially with ice cream in hand.
Yes. And I was at the beach again today, actually, because I was out in that area for my 2 days of work conference, and then we were done at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I had a drink with some people from Halifax. I'm wearing a Halifax flag pin.
I was noticing, yeah.
I'm an honorary Halifaxonian.
Halifaxian?
Or Nova Scotian.
Nova Scotian, yeah.
Why not? And and we had a beer with them, and we were chatting about some of our work stuff that we're doing, and then it was a beautiful day, and I was just so exhausted. Like, it's been a crazy 2 days, and walked to English Bay, sat for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, nice. Okay,
nice.
I'm ready. And I left.
Last time I was there during the day, I realized, you know, Elaine and I are walking down the beach, I'm like, there are some good-looking chicks everywhere. Huh?
Yes.
And good-looking guys. But I thought, you know, like, this is cool, you know? Like, me and Justin should come down one day and just kind of see what's going on.
And I felt uber cool with my laptop bag and courier bag and
right.
my jacket and my Skechers and my golf shirt.
We have a good, but the golf shirt's nice. It's kind of beachy, actually, I would say.
Oh,
especially with that Halifax pin.
Yeah, I try.
No, yeah, definitely. We should take a picture.
You've sent me pictures to post onto the website, and I've been so bad at that. I've just been, like, I will get to it eventually. When I go for my 2 weeks of holidays in September, it will get done.
Cool. Well, yeah. Well, you know, there's no hurry. And just for all of you out there that kind of wondered at our website decor, it is a template from Podbean. But basically, we will be sprucing it up with more photos of us. And it's just about, you know, getting the right size and make sure it's not stretched and getting the right photo of us in there. And I think we've got something to choose from now.
We do. We do. And I've just been so delayed.
No worries.
But yeah, so that was our experience on the weekend. Very cool, very hip, and
yeah, it was a good time. Good time.
Yeah. And you know, I do remember my one topic. I was gonna tell you my epiphany in my journey, my evolution. And I told you the story on Saturday, but I was hopefully going to tell it a little bit more succinctly.
Right.
About my, you know, we all know my evolution has gone from my journey commitment to myself is to figure out this relationship bit, and then as we've talked on many podcasts, I've evolved it to sort of the journey is about figuring out passion and excitement without reservation or without strings attached.
Right.
And then after this last couple of weeks, I've discovered that it's actually that, but it's not an evolution. They're actually two separate journeys that I need to take.
Oh.
And but I won't get into it because I'm just too tired to talk about it. But that's a preview for maybe a future podcast while
I think so,
about it.
Yeah.
But tell me about this petition that's sitting here
on
the desk.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this is all about petition to the House of Commons on behalf of the NDP Federal Party, Libby Davies, who's our rep here in the Commercial Drive area. And it's Vancouver East, so
yes.
It's kind of a
and
big
NDP
area.
Is New Democratic Party, right?
New Democrats, yep.
Left of center party.
Left of center, kind of like we are. I've never officially endorsed a federal party specifically. I've looked around a lot at all four of the major ones.
Yep.
But Elaine was down at the art gallery a couple Saturdays ago, and I think it was when I was at my condominium Association meeting or whatever.
Yes, Mr. President.
Yes. Thank you. And she was handed, they were having a little rally down there, and she was handed this petition to save the CBC Radio Orchestra, which has since been disbanded. And just to kind of reiterate its cultural importance, depends how you look at it. I think it's culturally important.
And CBC is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation?
Which is, you know, a national entity, whether you're into the CBC or not. It's kind of like the BBC in England. Some people are, some people aren't.
Taxpayer-funded broadcaster?
Yeah, so, you know, they're reassessing their CBC National Radio and CBC TV and their whole iconic thing that they are, and they're making a bunch of changes in this, getting rid of the CBC Radio Orchestra, which has been around for 70 years.
And it's the last radio orchestra in
North America,
right?
Yeah, which is a big, big deal. I think, and I think, you know, Elaine said there's a lot of more middle-aged elderly people there, obviously that makes sense, but, you know, there were some young people, and there were some orchestra musicians there, and who were getting the word out, and so I've got this petition here that I'm hoping you would sign, if you're interested, Justin, because I think, you know, we're both into classical, and the survival of an orchestra, that means a lot, And I would just actually promote that out there by saying that, you know, of all things, I don't think, I think it's, what, a couple of hundred thousand to operate this orchestra out of taxpayer money. I think that money could go to a lot of worse things, so, in my opinion. And so Elaine took this petition home, and because she signed up there, she got a letter from Libby Davies on some special letterhead from the NDP, and which was nice, and, yeah, just explaining the plight of the orchestra. So.
Well, I've signed up for you. There you go.
Right on. Well, thank you very much. And I'll be passing this around to others. And
bring it on the weekend.
Yeah,
we
I will.
Because
you're going to host you and Vanessa, right?
Yes,
host a lovely dinner for...
Brother-sister hosting. I got to figure out a menu or choose what I want Vanessa to make. All I know is I decided on dessert.
Thanks, Vanessa, in advance for joining us and also, most importantly, for being into cooking for us, which is really great. We take turns, big group of us, to host dinners.
Yeah.
And I think it will be lots of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'll bring in the petition along and see how many signatures I can get.
Exactly. Well, I think we're good.
I think so.
This is a nice... perfectly within 30 minutes one.
I know. Well, we could spend the next 2 minutes and 10 seconds on how we've actually got under 30 minutes, but I don't think that's necessary.
No, I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us again this beautiful late June afternoon.
Yeah.
Or awesome. Early evening. And get out to the beach and get out and be...
Yes, wear as little clothes as possible, people.
See, this is the thing. I always say what I want people to do at the end, but I'm not going to be like Oprah, okay? I'm just going to be like, do what you want to do.
With little amount of clothing is necessary.
Exactly. All right. Well, thedotmatrix.com, iTunes.
Yes.
And
for those of you who have downloaded the Bill Moyers podcast or subscribed to it because of us, we thank you.
Yes.
And it's back working again, because for a while it wasn't downloading on iTunes. So
yes.
Now it is, thank goodness.
Time to catch up.
Yes.
Okay, well, so long, everyone.
See you later.